Amen. Amen. Through the throne, this throne of God, we'll deal with that later. But the truth is, well, let me just deal with it now. The truth is that we're to draw near to the throne. Now, understand that when you think about the Old Testament was, amen, amen, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, amen, was considered the throne because you're approaching God. Amen. And he said, let us draw near unto the throne. Amen. There is no lightning here. Amen. There is no thunder here. Amen. You know, to come to the base of the mountain would have gotten you killed. The animals would have gotten killed if they touched the Mount Sinai. This is not Mount Sinai. He said, now, you know, you can come up to the throne. You can come all the way up to the throne. You can approach. Amen. Amen. The priesthood has been abolished. And so now we must realize that the priesthood has been abolished. And now we are must understand that we are able now to approach the throne. And as we approach the throne, we must understand that this throne is not a throne of judgment. This is not a throne of law. He didn't even say that you should approach the throne of God. But what did he say? Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has turned Mount Sinai into a throne now that we can all approach. It is a throne of grace. Well, what is grace? Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. The throne of God is God. The throne of grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Amen. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. Now, that doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want to do. Matter of fact, if I'm saved, amen, it doesn't mean that I got the liberty to do as I please. Romans 6:1, amen. Should we continue in sin? It does not mean that now I should do as I please, but no, he says that this throne, amen, is a throne that you are now controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're not controlled by your old nature. As a matter of fact, if you can enjoy sin anymore, you're not saved. Amen. Amen. This is not a throne by which you want license to live as you please. But no, this throne here is this grace changes us and changes our lifestyle. There's something wrong if I can enjoy living in sin. If I can enjoy living in sin, I'm not saved. Amen. Because I've been rewired. The things I used to do, I don't enjoy them no more. You won't be able to enjoy sin now long term. You may be able to experience it, but you won't be able to stay in it because it's not you anymore. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so what we need to understand here simply is that God is telling us simply that the priesthood has been abolished. Amen. And we have been granted access by the great high priest, and this high priest is Jesus Christ, and given us grace. And now, but that does not mean that we should live as we please, because God's grace gives me what I do not deserve. But he says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. And why does he say boldly? Well, that word means, your Bible may say confidently, or it means come freely to the throne of grace. You've been set free by God. Amen. He says, what I want you to do is to come unashamedly. Amen. Amen. Come knowing that Jesus Christ has set us free. Come not, you know, you haven't been set free by a priest that is human. Amen. But the Bible tells us that you know, in verse 15, that he was a priest who was without sin. So he's saying, since God, Jesus, was a sinless priest, I know you ought to feel good about coming now. I know you ought to feel free. He said, look, we got to strut in. Amen. We're gonna go in knowing. Amen. There is no way that someone, because he was tempted and he was tempted above all points as we are, yet without sin. Amen. That meant that there is no rhyme or reason that could now prevent access, because we have the pure, unadulterated blood of Jesus. He was tempted, he was tried, and he went actually beyond what we're tempted, because he didn't sin. We get tempted and mess up, but Jesus was tempted in all points to the max, and he still didn't sin. Jesus was pushed to the limit, and he still didn't give in. He still didn't come out guilty. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. It's not law. It's a throne of grace. And we can find what we need. But the truth is that Jesus said, let us come. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Amen. Amen. So we looked at the fact that the abolished priesthood, that's out the way. We don't need the priest no more, although some churches still want to, amen, hang on to it. But the truth is that the scripture says different. Amen. Amen. But then we have been allowed access into his presence. You understand what happened here. Amen. In the Old Testament, when you talk about mercy, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace, when God giving you what you don't deserve, but mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. Mercy is negative. Grace is positive. Grace is about opportunity. Mercy is about an offense that I've. I got it. Mercy is about I've offended God. Grace says I have the opportunity to come to God, but then mercy. You see, we saved by grace, but then I need to live by mercy. Every day, amen, we took communion a few minutes ago. We did it by mercy. We know we did something wrong, if it was a thought, word, or deed. God did. So the truth is that he tells us, let us, he says, now mercy is quite different, because understand what happened. The Ark of the Covenant was positioned behind the curtain. And we could get into the fact that this curtain is really talking about the blood, the flesh of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have time to get into it. I probably couldn't explain it if I did. But you get some good theologians, they can explain it. But the truth is, I probably mess it up. But the truth is that there was a huge curtain that separated God from his people. There was a curtain that was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide and 18 inches thick, it is said, and it had gold rings in it, and they were placed in silver sockets, and it separated the holy place from the most holy place. The Ark of the Covenant was positioned behind the holy place with cherubims turning toward each other, and the mercy seat was overlaid with gold, and God says, amen. In Exodus 25, 22, I will meet with you and commune with you in between the cherubims. I will talk to you there in between the cherubims. And the truth is that God says that I'm going to meet you, and no one went behind that curtain. Amen. The priest himself, before his office got abolished, couldn't go back there but one time a year. And then he had to have his act together. Because if he didn't, we find out in Exodus 28 and 34, he had to have bells. Amen. Let me slow down a little bit. He had to have bells on the border of his garment. Because the bell will let the people outside know, according to Exodus 28:35, that when you hear that bell ringing, according to Psalms 89:15, you knew that there was a joyful sign. And how many of y'all have heard the joyful sound Jesus saves? What it means is that the priest that went behind the curtain, if you did not hear the bells ringing, he was back there in the most holy place. He may have gotten struck dead, because if he didn't do all of his ritual baths and if he didn't approach God right, God will strike him dead. And he can go in there, but once a year, Yom Kippur, that is the Day of Atonement. And what did that do? Is that made us at one with God, at one men. You divide it up into three parts, and at one, and the priest went in behind the curtain, and it was behind the curtain. Now, what happened is, according to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, the curtain was ripped. I'm talking about a 60-foot curtain, a 60 feet high and 30 feet wide and 18 approximate inches thick. That curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying a divine act, signifying that God did it, signifying that mercy now says they can come in now. I'm not making this up. This is what happened. Do you not understand that now we are priests and we get to go right through Jesus into the throne room of the mercy seat? Nobody was allowed. Now, nobody was allowed in the mercy seat. If you played around the mercy seat, if you went behind the curtain, yet that meant one thing: you're gonna die. That meant you better turn around, go back. Nobody's allowed. Oh Lord, have mercy. And I know the truth is that he says that we have been allowed to access his presence. We've been allowed access into the presence of God. You and I can go into the presence of God right now. Amen. We can pray, and Jesus is there interceding on our behalf, and the curtain has been torn, ripped apart. God has said, "Don't hold back. Just come on in." Amen. We have been allowed access into his presence, the presence that was previously prohibited. And because now the priesthood has been abolished, and because we have been allowed access into his presence, we can get an answer to prayer. He said, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace." Amen. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain some mercy. Amen. I need some mercy. Amen. I need some mercy. I don't need justice. Amen. The older people said, if justice would have judged me according to, my deeds, then I wouldn't be here. Folk who claim to be holy wouldn't be holy anymore if justice had its way. Amen. Justice means I'm condemned. Justice means I'm guilty. Justice means I'm not allowed. Justice means, I need to die. But mercy, it means I don't get what I deserve. Amen. I don't get what I, I don't know about you, but I don't want what I deserve. Amen. All y'all know is what y'all see. I'm not perfect either. I don't want what I deserve. And he says that, look, well, let me hear it up, because the truth is that he says that we need to come. Why? So we can get an answer to prayer. Amen. Prayer is basically a sincere request unto God, whether it is formally, and we're going to deal with prayer in a regular thing. Lord willing, if you give us the time, amen, the rapture doesn't occur. But the truth is that whatever your sincere desire of your heart is now, he said, look, just come ask. He said, just come ask. He says, I want you to come ask for this blessing. And he says, the truth is that you can find grace to help. That term grace there is putting it in a channel. That is the avenue by which we can go to God. Grace to help. Amen. God will provide the grace for us to get the help. Amen. That we need. Amen. The mercy is going to pay for the sin, but because we are under grace, we can ride on in because we are children of God. We can find grace to help. Amen. Anybody needing the help? Amen. He says, in times of need, at the right time, when you need some help, God can do. Now you have access to God. Amen. This is not like having access to the President of the United States or a foreign ambassador or some prime minister. We have access to the one that can speak and change everything at his will. And if he does not remove it, he will give us the strength to endure it. He will give you the strength to fight it, to handle it. Amen. He will give you victory. We must understand that God will make sure that whatever we face in life, we will have whatever we need, whether he move it or strengthen us to deal with it. He can come into our room and give us peace. Well, let me hear him get to the sermon. The truth is that he says that you can find grace. Amen. You, if you go to God, you may find anything. Amen. You can find some help. Amen. Amen. Not saying you can get the help. You'll find it. You'll find out they're just laying around waiting on you to come get it. You'll find grace to help in times of need. Amen. There are times in life when you need something. There are times in life when you need strength. Amen. Whatever it is that you need, God says you can find grace. All you got to do is go behind the mercy seat. And all you got to do is because his righteous, royal, rich red blood is without spot or blemish. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:4, it's impossible for bulls and goats to take away our sin. In the Old Testament, all they did was, the Hebrew word is kofar, all they did was covered up the sin. But Jesus cleansed the sin. Amen. It hadn't been swept under the rug. Our sins, understand what happened. Our sins has been removed. Amen. Jesus has removed it from our record. Amen. And he has declared us justified. We are justified, righteous. Righteous in the almighty eyes of the almighty God. Well, as we close, what we need to understand is simply this. We know that it says that we can, he said, just let us eat the lettuce. Amen. Let us come boldly before the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, as I close, what we need to understand is that somebody still won't come. Although it's been provided, a curtain has been ripped apart. And do you know? Would you believe if I told you that some people still don't want to come? They thinking about themselves. They're thinking about works. They thinking they need to earn it. They thinking they need to be qualified. But the truth is, there's been paid, but isn't that sad for it to be free and somebody not take it? Isn't that awful for somebody not to accept the grace and the mercy? They still won't come. Well, they won't come. They backed up. They're busy making excuses. They still won't come. But we're not going to go through this, are we? We're not going to do this, are we? We're not going to talk about how unworthy we are. We're not going to talk about how bad we are. We're not going to talk about this, are we? We're not going to disqualify ourselves, although God has qualified us. We're not going to go through this, are we? Talking about, I made a mistake. Are we not going to insult the blood of Jesus Christ, who already knew we were sinners when he saved us, didn't have to find out about it? We're not going to do this, are we? We're not going to sit here and argue back and forth with God, with the promises of God, instead of accepting what he's done on the cross. We're not going to let his blood be died in vain and still try to add our works to it, are we? We're not going to go through this. Let's not do that. There's some people that still want to, they still talking about, amen, how God's blood is not enough. Matter of fact, when they get down to pray, they say, you know what? And you know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. We've got to fight the devil, because he's going to come along and make you feel unworthy. He comes along according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and he's constantly pointing out. You see what Foster did. You see what he thought. You see what he thought. You see what he said. I know he's not. I mean, you get down to pray and you say, you know what? I don't. He said, I know what. I know you're not going to pray. Not with what's been coming out of your mouth. Yeah. Amen. Do you think that's too bad to stop you from God's mercy? God's mercy got to come. He said, now, I know you're not trying to go to church. I know you're not trying to go to church. Not after coming home so late last night. You came, you didn't leave at 2 o'clock. I know you're not trying to go to church. Amen. I know you're not trying to read your Bible. Amen. The way you've been thinking, if we are not careful, the devil will condemn us and we will never experience the joy of the Christian life. We've entered the promised land, which is a type of heaven in the Christian life. We've entered into it. But how many of y'all know that Moses led them out of Egypt, but he couldn't lead them in? Joshua led them in, which is really what Jesus' name is. Yeshua in the Hebrew is Jesus. And when it says Jesus in verse 9, I believe it is, or 8, he's really talking about Joshua led them in. But they didn't acquire the property. They did not conquer all the property. They did not enjoy the benefits of the land. They did not enjoy the blessing. Now they got the land, but they never did operate by faith. There was always something coming up. There was something always, they were always fighting here and there. If they did what God told them, they would have enjoyed the land. The truth is that we must make sure that we don't let Satan condemn us. So I'm just telling you, come on. Amen. Amen. I know you're not perfect, but come on. I know you're guilty, but come on. Come on, smelling like whiskey. Come on. Amen. Come on, smelling. Amen. Amen. Like cigarettes. Come on. Amen. To the throne room of Jesus Christ. Don't let that devil stop you from enjoying your Christian life. My sins have been paid for, has been washed away. Amen. Come on with your stinking thinking. Come on with your dirty thoughts. Come on with your dress up too high. Come on with your tattooed body. Come on with your lipstick on. Come on with your weave. Come on. Come on in. He said, come on. We're not perfect, but come on. Everybody shout, come on. Amen. Come on. Don't let the devil bring up your past. Amen. Because Jesus Christ has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, according to, we ain't got to get into it, Ephesians 1:3 and Ephesians 2:6 and Ephesians 4:8. Come on, he has risen up. All God is saying, come on, don't let the devil stop you from experiencing the joy of the Christian life, the joy of the promised land. Come on anyway. Yeah. Amen. Don't let nobody turn you around. Amen. Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Come on, because, amen, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow. Come on, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. I'm going to come on. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Save a wretch like me. Amazing grace. Amazing. Yes. Amen. Grace is so amazing. It's so amazing. It's so amazing that it saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Yeah. But I can't walk in defeat. Yeah. I can't walk because I didn't think right. I didn't do this right. I didn't say that right. I failed. I made a mistake. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Christians gonna try to make sure I try to act like you can't enjoy this unless you walk in absolutely perfect. Confess your sins. Yes. Not to be forgiven, but because you are forgiven. Yes. God and already forgave us. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. As I close, the truth of the matter is that don't let that devil stop you from coming. Right. And I'm saying, come on anyhow. Amen. Come on, come on. Amen. Because the devil wants to separate. He wants something to come in between you and God. He keep you from reading your Bible, keep you from praying, keep you from worshiping because you did something wrong. I'm telling you to confess it and come on. Amen. The United States, that word S, U.S., if you put some periods there, it can mean the U.S. Amen. We know that the United States is not perfect. We know that we have crossed racial lines, problems, and we've had political lines, or we got upheaval in the United States. But the truth of the matter is the United States can still come on. Amen. Amen. The fact of the matter is, amen, is that God has, we've taken prayer out.
Yeah.
But you can come on. Amen. 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 You take the Ten Commandments down, but you can still come on. Amen. You're taking the Bible out. If we can read every other textbook and substitute it, amen, with literature, sex education, and all other things, and instead we can't even bring the Bible in. We can't even talk about God. We can't even bring his name up. He has been ostracized. He's been excommunicated from his own world. We can talk about everything. And in a place where they have all these books, why in the world would we not use the book of books? The book, this ought to be the first textbooks anybody read. Amen. Amen. But we're more concerned about people than we are, it seems, about God. We don't want to offend anybody. But I'm here to tell you that we can't afford to offend God. The sermon I started to preach today had to deal with Abraham, but I forget things. The truth of the matter is that Abraham was called a friend of God. But did you know that we have got to be willing to be God's friend? You know what the Bible says in James 4:4? It says that an enemy, amen, if you become an enemy of God when you become a friend of the world. God is one who says that you don't want me to be your enemy. So don't become so close to the world that you get rid of me, because you can't live without me. Have I got a witness? So I'm just here to say, when you find somebody, just let them know. All they need to do is just simply come on. Amen. I know you made a mistake. I know you did it. I know you're guilty. I know you're unworthy. But the truth is that, come on, live your Christian life in knowing that Jesus Christ has paid it all. All to him I owe. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now that you said we need just go ahead and come on. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We thank you that the priesthood has been abolished. We have now been allowed access right into your presence. And now you will answer our prayer. We don't need to pray to somebody else. We don't need to confess to another human. The throne room. Oh, thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus, we pray that if you'd help us to realize that you're all we need. You're the one who is able. The answer. I found the answer. I found the answer. I found help in time of need. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody that don't know you right now, if they have sensed your Holy Spirit's presence, that on this 4th of July, that they would highlight it, 2021, and saying, it was on the 4th of July that I felt the Spirit It was on the 4th that I heard the voice of Jesus saying, come and rest. Come and get that experience, the rest, that Jerusalem rest, that Zion rest, that rest that's in the promised land. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for rest. We don't have to go down from this place feeling guilty. We can just strut ourselves in thrown through life knowing that my sins have been paid for. Confess it and get over it and move on. I'm not going to feel one ounce of guilt because I'm not going to insult the blood of God. According to Acts 20 and 28, he has purchased the church with his own blood. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.